The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here on Thursday. It's, like, not horrible outside, which is really nice, although I think tomorrow and Saturday and maybe even Sunday are all going to be back in the low 30s. So
varying levels of horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It did rain all day yesterday.
It did rain all day, but it was still 50. So
everything's
just
gross.
Yeah. We're now in the kind of bipolar stages of it's going to be cold and it's going to be wet. And then also it's going to be really nice. And then it's going to be freezing again. So early spring, that's where we're at.
Wouldn't surprise me if it snows again. Yeah.
No, I definitely would not be surprised if we got one more snow day. But so much has happened out here in the playoffs, and kind of hard to cover all of it in a half an hour, but we'll do our best. We've had a very busy last 2 days. Just to recap very quickly, because we are deep in the basketball playoffs, and we have seven Berkshire County teams that made it to the quarterfinal rounds of their tournaments, which is very impressive. We had six last year. I was thinking about it in the car. So
okay, I didn't even think back to that. Yeah,
we had four Final Four teams last year, but we had six quarterfinal teams. So this year we have seven quarterfinal teams. We'll see how many actually get a trophy, make it to the Final Four. And so on Tuesday, number 4 Lennox beat number 13 Hall. That's Lennox's first. It's a Lennox girls' their first ever trip to the quarterfinals. They had lost in the round of 16 the last 2 years. So now they finally make it. Number 9 Lee upset number 8 Drury. So now Lee is back in the quarterfinals for the first time since 2022. Wakona girls lost. They were the 15th seed. They lost at second seeded Millis. Gave Millis a game, but they lost in the fourth quarter. And Pittsfield High, they finally got over the North Reading hump. PHS is the 5th seed. They beat 12 North Reading. They had lost to North Reading in 2022 at home. They lost to North Reading in 2024 at home. And this time around, they smoked them. And so they are back. They're in the quarterfinals for their first time ever in the state tournament. And then yesterday, it was a bunch of boys games. Number 5, Monument Mountain, kind of handled business against number 21, Cathedral, won by, I think, 14. So Monument, probably won by 20. Yeah. No, Taconic was a 20-point win.
Yeah, is that what you were talking about?
No, oh, you're talking Monument? Sorry. Not talking about Monument. And so Monument back in the quarterfinals for the third straight year. They're still looking for their first quarterfinal win, but they're back there. Number 6, Taconic beat number 22, Appanequit. That was a 20-point win. It was close at halftime, and Taconic pulled away completely. So now Taconic back in the quarterfinals. They've been to the quarterfinals every single time in all 4 years of the new tournament. They're looking for their fourth straight Final Four trip. Incredibly impressive stuff there. And number 13, Hoosick Valley versus number 4, Drury, was the huge game yesterday. Drury won 50-47. Amazing game, amazing crowd, amazing atmosphere. And Drury is now in the quarterfinals as well for the second straight year. They lost in the quarterfinals last year, so we'll see if they can win it this year. This time around, they are at home. They will host number 5 English. So yeah, it'll be an interesting couple Fridays and Saturdays, I guess, just because we're talking about this. I'll run through the matchups real quick, and we can break down action and previews and whatever.
Yeah, the wild thing, it's wild that we have seven teams in it, but we have six home teams.
We have six home teams, and Mike and I were kind of freaking out on Tuesday, like, oh my God, if all six games are Friday, what are we going to do? Yes. But so basically, girls are on Friday, boys are on Saturday. That's kind of the simplistic explanation. So on Friday, D3... Number 13, Old Rochester, comes to number 5, Pittsfield. Quarterfinal game in D5. Two quarterfinals, number 5, Renaissance, and number 4, Lennisox. That's been the last two Western Mass Class C championship games. Renaissance has won both. So now Lennox, we'll see if they third time's the charm. And number 7, Douglas, and number 2, Hoosick Valley. And so we will see if Hoosick can make it back to the Final Four for the fourth straight year. And then on Saturday, there is one girls' game. That's Lee at number 1, Hopedale. They're the lone Berkshire team that has to travel, so we'll see if they can pull off another crazy upset. And then on the boys' side, in D3, number 14, Boston Latin Academy pulled off an upset of number 3-seeded Newburyport. So instead of having to travel to Newburyport, Taconic gets a home game in the quarterfinals. And in D4, number 13, Cohasset pulled off an upset of the number 4th seed, whose name I'm now forgetting.
Milbury,
thank you. And so now Monument Mountain gets a home game, and Drury was the 4th seed, so they were at home no matter what, and they host number 5 English.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those games are late afternoon. On Friday, you have 6-6 and 6:30. And then on Saturday, Lee is on the road at 5. And then all the boys' games are at 5, except for Drury, which is at 4.
Yes. Yeah. And the only thing was Old Rochester also pulled off an upset. And because of that, Pittsfield doesn't have to travel. So
right.
We wound up with three technically lower seeds than should be home in this round, all getting kind of surprise home games, which is crazy beneficial in this particular
tournament. Not having to travel all the way out across the state.
For Taconic, it's a 3-hour difference. Monument, I think, around a 2-hour. Milbury is Central Mass, so about 2-hour difference. I'm not sure who did Old Rochester.
Medway's 2.5 hours.
Oh, is that
Medway would have if Medway beat Old Rochester?
That's who Old Rochester beat.
That's where Pittsfield would have been. So Medway's so another two and a half hours.
Yeah. So some significant savings on. I think a lot of that stuff. I believe Bill Hafey, the Taconic coach, mentioned it after the game last night. Was it's 3 hours in a bus. Yes, you also get better sleep, better meal, and just kind of more comfort level of entering your own gym, entering your own locker room. You don't have anything new. It eliminates so many variables in this particular statewide bonanza that we've been involved in the past 4 years now.
Yeah, so there's so many games to talk about. Kind of hard to get to all of them. I think that maybe let's kind of preview the ones we have coming up, and we can touch on, you know, how they got here. Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk like just we were both at the same game last night.
Drury and Hoosick Valley, like I said, exceptional game. I was talking to the athletic director at like 1 or 2 o'clock on Wednesday, and he's like, yeah, it's already sold out. And then I get there, and if you've been to Drury, there's kind of the parking lot isn't very wide, but it's very long, and I didn't even bother getting close to the gym just because. And Mike, I know, had
I made one loop, but no, I've never had to park beyond like the second level of right in front of the gym there.
I didn't even bother. I was just like, I'm parking far because I'm not gonna. And anyway, yeah, I get in, and he's like, yeah, the fire marshal already cut it off, already cut off the number. We're hard capped. And yeah, it was phenomenal atmosphere. Bill Robinson, the Hoosie coach, Jack Reset, the Drury coach, both talked about it. You know, it's an old school rivalry, and you're not going to get this. And I think they're right. You know, you're definitely going to see big crowds, but that kind of level of enthusiasm you saw, credit to the Hoosie student section. The football players were dressed up. You had kids in face paint. You know, they were doing the most, which was really fun to see. And the game lived up to it. You know, that was a classic old school rivalry defensive duel. Both teams just were locked in for 32 minutes. Connor Hinkle set the tone on the first play at an and one. And just was a very physical game. Sam Moorman was coming off of illness. And so I think they said Tuesday was his first day back and Wednesday was his first day like not really being sick. Mm-hmm. And so you could kind of tell, but they both did a very good job of preventing Quinnell Bradley from taking over the game, Hoosick center. And James Varelis, give him credit. Jorge Bond a little bit of credit because Aiden Wicks and Trey Moynihan, who are probably the two best scorers on Hoosick, they were 0-6 from 3, and Wicks was held to 5 points. Moynihan got 14, but he really had to work for it. And so Varelis especially did just great work to kind of take him out of the equation. Will Hakes, he was the lone senior for Hoosick, had a great final game, hit 4 threes. It was kind of, huge when they would try and claw back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jorge Bond scored when he needed to. It was entirely reminiscent of the Western Mass final, where Drury lost because it couldn't make free throws, and with a minute left, Quinnell Bradley was sent to the line and he made 1 of 2, and that put Drury up 48-47, and if Bradley makes both, it's 48-48, but he misses one, so it's 48-47, and then 16 seconds left, and Sam Moorman's at the free throw line, and I'm getting flashbacks because that's exactly what happened against Granby, and he missed those, and they lost. And he had 2 free throws, and he made both. And the crowd's going crazy, and so now it's a 3-point lead. And part of me was thinking, do they intentionally foul? Obviously, the 1-1 is gone, so it's a little bit different. But they did not. They just played straight defense. Credit to Jorge Bond, who got right into Trey Moynihan's grill. Moynihan put off this off-balance jumper 3, went off. And, Drury clutched out the win. So credit to them.
Yeah, just the So I was just bringing up, so going back to our last time kind of doing the math on stats and stuff, we had Trey averaging 20.8, Aiden averaging 17.8, so that's 38 points a game. They were held to 19. So huge job there just by Drury. Looking back to some of the other low games that those two have had, they don't have very many low games. Trey Moynihan was held to 5 against Pioneer Valley, who is a dominant likely state champion, to 4 to South Hadley, another very strong defensive team, and obviously a bigger higher level school. Those are really his, yeah, those are his only two single digits. And leading into the game, he had been, 24, 31, 19, and then comes up with 14 there. Aiden Wicks had single digits, I think, just twice previously in the season. 7 against Belchertown in a kind of a blowout loss, and then 9 against Monument. So holding those guys to 4 points, to 5 points, 14 points is kind of wild. And it speaks to the familiarity.
Yeah, Reset said like that was our best defensive performance of the year. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, they locked down when they needed to.
No threes,
No threes.
Zero threes for either of them.
Right, and they got the stops they needed to get, and now they're back in the quarterfinals. And this time, last year they lost on the road at Pioneer Valley, so this year they're at home, and we'll see if they can punch their ticket to the Final Four. And of course, that'll be really difficult because then they will most likely play Pioneer Valley, who's beaten them twice.
I don't know if this game. I think Reset said it. We would have rather had anyone else in the draw.
Yeah,
because it does kind of. It's a bummer. It's very thrilling to knock out your rival, but it's a bummer that you had to knock out another, because maybe these are two teams that could have gone further individually. But I don't know if it speaks any more to, I don't have a higher opinion really of Drury than I did heading in.
This game gave me a higher opinion of Huzik, actually.
Huzik's
able to keep it together. Exactly. Yes. They have had issues on the mental side with, falling apart in mm-hmm. close games late. And they had that was their best defensive game of the year, and they stuck with it. And yeah, that was very impressive.
Yes, Huzik has the look of a team that can rip through Bi-County East, their season next year. This is a team that could win 15 to 20 games easily coming back next year. But Drury, I just envisioned it being Drury's a couple points better, a couple points more experienced. Jorge Bond is a couple points above kind of everyone else on the court in my mind. And Connor Hinkle was the Connor Hinkle that he's been in and out of the lineup all year. But this is kind of the guy that we thought we were going to get throughout the season. Yeah.
Connor Hinkle led all scorers.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy. With Bond.
Not something that happened
Bond
often
is
this year.
I think the second leading scorer in the county. At this point, I think Moynihan's fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Wicks is probably sixth or seventh. And Connor Hinkle had 18 points. So, yeah, he was dominant.
Yeah, it wasn't. So, this was kind of his. He's clearly comfortable again on a basketball court, because he had been kind of in and out of the lineup. He had been scoring really single digits throughout the course of the year when he's out there. And kind of you saw it, right from the tip with the end one, the holler. Later he gets a black eye on a collision, comes back strong, kind of did a little bit of everything.
So that's Drury. I think we should move on, because we don't have to be all that we don't have to take all that long with it, because it was kind of a one-sided game. But talk about Pittsfield girls, because like I said, so last year I covered their game against North Reading, and neither team really could score, in large part because neither team could, put the ball in the basket. And then a North Reading girl kind of just got hot from three, and she hit six threes in the second half. Mm-hmm. And so that was the difference in the game, and North Reading kind of won going away. And so that was the second time in 3 years that North Reading had beaten PHS at PHS. And
yes.
So this year, when we saw that they were going to play again, I definitely was like, oh, this is just happening again. And so anyway, I'm covering Lennox versus Hull. And so at halftime, I'm watching PCTV, and I'm seeing it's 3-2 North Reading, and both teams are having trouble shooting. And Pittsfield, what's going on, Pittsfield? And then fourth quarter, there's a timeout, so I check back. and it's 21-5 Pittsfield. I'm like, oh, okay. So much for that. And Pittsfield won 53-17, which is crazy. They held Northern to 17 points. And so they've gotten over that hump, exercised some demons. They're in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
This was.
It's not the same, but we've kind of known that for a couple of weeks now. It's not the same Pittsfield team. They beat the South Hadley team, so they kind of been excising these demons throughout the course of this season. They hit all the benchmarks. They beat Central in a kind of wake up call to everybody. They lost a game to Minichog, but then they come back and beat Minichog.
Beat Northampton, who they lost.
They beat Northampton. They beat Hoosick. They just kind of have been answering the call at every turn here. North Reading scoring in the game quarter by quarter, 5-5, 5-2. So they done it. I was at their first round game where they did give up 34 to a Wilmington team that did have kind of a star scorer who got hers a little bit, but was similar in that they're just so physical and so strong on the ball defensively that. It makes it very difficult, especially for teams that aren't super familiar with that, coming out here from wherever. I know the North Reading coach said it.
Which is interesting because North Reading played full court press last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was very clearly their style of play. So I don't know if they
should. It's just not at this.
Yeah.
Not like there are different styles of full court press, and this is one that I guess he hadn't seen much of out there.
Well, that's what was surprising. Is last year, they could keep up with Pittsfield the whole way through. And I don't know if they just, graduated a bunch of those kids, so, you have a new roster.
I mean, they were 12 seed, so yeah.
Right. So, maybe Pittsfield just hit it to another level.
Yeah, I haven't looked to see who was on North Reading's schedule, but it probably speaks good things to what Pittsfield's kind of outlook it here is. I mean, they get to host a double digit seed in a quarterfinal round, and then they would have to go play the one seed, right?
Yes, that is most five, right? St. Mary's a Lynn, most likely. I was going to say, just because I think the big question for Pittsfield, because we don't know what happened. I've been told Old Rochester won on like a buzzer beating three to upset Medway. And so that's why Pittsfield is now at home in the quarterfinals. And we're not going to beat her. We're not going to be coy here. Everyone knows what happened the last time a Pittsfield and an Old Rochester team played. That was in the Final Four last year, where that was boys' side, Final Four. Old Rochester player spit in the face of Malachi Perry, who was then a standout for PHS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the big question for me, honestly, is less about the game and more about if this is something that means a lot to the team, are they going to get in over their heads? Are they going to psych themselves out because they're like, we're going to make a statement and we got to, this is revenge. And I understand those emotions 100%, but you can't let that, kind of take over you and distract you from just playing the game.
Yeah, I as we said, it seems like a different Pittsfield team. They've kind of answered every call that they've been asked this season, so it's hard not to imagine them putting it out of their minds and just playing their brand of basketball. Their brand of basketball, again, is just a scary concept on both ends. Where
if you can't run with them, you're in trouble. Like, you gotta, if you can't run with them and if you can't keep them in the half court, and apparently they did better in the half court against North Reading, so that's if you're an opposing team, that's a terrifying sign that Pittsfield can play in the half court. But yeah, if you can't slow them down, you're in for a long day.
Yeah, I don't know how Howard said that, but how often are you in a half court against a team that scores 17 points?
Yeah,
they're missing every shot they're taking.
Correct. All right, folks, anyway, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come right back, and we'll talk some more playoffs. So keep it locked here on WTBR and WSBR.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore, but disagreements lead to compromise, and compromise leads to progress, and That's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings. We can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
Welcome back, everybody. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR. Lee, this is Bird's Eye View. Jesse and Mike, you're talking playoff basketball in the Berkshires. We were talking about Drury and Hoosick, talking about the Pittsfield girls. I think we should talk about maybe Taconic now, because they have just their run of success in the last, like, a million years under Bill Hafey has been kind of unprecedented. And, or maybe not unprecedented, but otherworldly impressive. And so they beat Appanequit in the round of 16 at home. It was kind of a close game at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Taconic was up 33-27, so that's only a 6-point game. And then Taconic outscored its visitors 20-7 in the third quarter, and that was the game. And won by 20. Kyle McGrath, 18 points. Quentin Christopher, 16 points. Nate Reynolds, 16 points. Hit three threes. Just he's been on a heater since, I don't know, maybe the second Pittsfield game. He's just been canning threes. Had a huge game against Monument. He had a good game against Pittsfield in the playoffs, even though they lost that one. But yeah, so that's been huge for them. Looks like they have Christopher King back, which is Quincy King, which is good. He's been a nice role player for them. But yeah, this is just, once again, Taconic is in the quarterfinals. Once again, they have a home game in the quarterfinals. And I believe Cohasset is a kind of a half-court team, a slow-it-down team, which feels like they're just walking into a trap, because that's exactly what Taconic loves to do. You know, they have Kyle McGrath, they have Martin Bua, and they are happy to play to, you know, first to 45, and we're going to throw it down to those guys on the low block, and they're going to score 20, and that's it. So... I don't know. I think if you're Taconic, you're feeling good.
Yeah. So six straight Final Four trophies reside at Taconic High School right now. So they will be playing for their seventh Saturday night. And yeah, I was just looking back as I did. I covered the quarterfinal last year, where they beat Norwell in overtime. And I was trying to think of the lead I wrote last year. And it was like, styles have changed. So have jerseys, mascots, gyms, alignments, and divisions. Faces have changed too, except for the one at the end of the bench. Bill Hafey's kind of, yeah, inevitable at this point of the season.
He's inevitable.
Their only losses this year are all kind of explainable, I will say, outside of the one that I saw.
Which, by the way, you still have not, like, gotten over.
I haven't forgiven them for Agawam game that I went to.
There was like a roundup you wrote like a week and a half later, and you start, like, Taconic won by like 25, and you started with, they lost by 20 a week ago, but then they won by 25. Get over it, man!
I have not gotten over that Agawam game. I don't know what was going on. It was an abysmal game. But since then, yeah, they've kind of...
It feels personal. Like, what'd they do?
This is like the one time I was like, oh, Friday night, I'm going to Taconic. Let's go. Let's see them, how they look this year. And they looked terrible.
They laid an egg.
But, I mean, since then, they've kind of answered every call. They did lose to Pittsfield, but it was by 2 points in the Western Mass semifinal. That's kind of how their losses have been this year. They've been 2, 3, 4 points. And since then, yeah, they've now continued to just do this. And it's... I guess it speaks to just the program, the kids that buy in, the kids that want to stay, and the kids that want to play for Hafey, and his staff. His staff has kind of changed a little, like, slightly throughout the course of the...
Jason Conyers now on the girls' side.
Yeah, there's been some faces come and go, come back. And this year, you know, they were in a similar boat where they graduated kind of two heavyweights in particular, that were, you could definitely point to the reason they were in the Final Four last year, the reason they had a chance to beat the eventual state champion in that Final Four game, where Christian Mitrovic and Jamal Sistrun kind of period stop, and to lose those two guys and to be right back here where you're on the verge of being the exact same position you were last year is pretty wild. Nate Reynolds, I'll say, is since that Agawam game where he was scoreless, not to bring it up again. He's gone 9 points, 17 points, 12 points, 11, 16. He had 6 in the win over Gloucester, and then 16 last night to beat Appanequit.
Appanequit.
So he's been just kind of a huge boon to them because they have not had a guy who can shoot threes at that level. He's got 49 right now on the season. So that's something that's
And Hafey said he has the green variable light. You know, he knows he's got the green light to shoot. And yeah, he's been the difference maker because he hadn't really emerged last year. And, you know, last year's game to Charlestown, they lost because they just needed an extra 3-and-D guy. And I remember being at that game and saying, okay, if Steve Patch was still on this team, they would have won.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
just have one other 3-and-D guy. And so now, you know, you have Reynolds, you have Quentin Christopher. If Quincy King keeps kind of, you know, getting back to normal, you have like three legitimate 3-point shooters, and that just gives you, because Kyle McGrath has taken a huge step forward. Like, he was very good last year, but he has taken a huge step forward this year. He's, I don't know, second or third leading scorer in the county. And, but to then, you know, if teams are just going to say, we're going to pack the paint and you can't get it to Kyle, now they have people who can space the floor and can punish teams for that. And that's just so dangerous in March.
Yeah, I'll say real quick, Quincy King. So he didn't play the first two games of the season, was probably kind of a JV floater at that point. Then he played the next 7 games and scored 75 points in those 7 games. Then he did not play again until last night.
Right.
So get it. If he's back in any way, that's a huge boost to this bench.
I mean, yeah, getting an extra 10 points is just, that's big, especially when he's hitting threes and spacing the floor. We have a couple minutes left, so I think we just touch on. So Lennox girls had a pretty easy win over Hull. They were just thoroughly better. Mm-hmm. They're going to have, you know, this is the team that's had their number the last 2 years, and the West took 2 Western Mass finals from them. I think the glass half full way to look at it is to say, all right, well, both times Lennox lost to Renaissance were by single digits. They were both on neutral floors. This past, you know, 2 weeks ago game,
Renaissance had
14 and lost. So and Renaissance had 34 free throws. Lennox had 4. It's like, all right, free throws a little more balanced. You're at home. You know what to expect. Third time's the charm. Okay. All right. We got this. I think the pessimistic view is to say, well, Lennox hasn't altered the script. They were up double digits in both games and lost. And they were, you know, shut down in the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter in both games and lost. Jocelyn Fairfield, who's one of their better players, if not their best player, was fouled out in both games, and they lost. So it's like, all right, there's just, you know, all these tiny little things. What's going to happen?
There's the adage of the beating a team 3 times in 1 season or whatever is difficult. I'm like, well, no. Not if you're better than them.
Not if you're better than them,
and
yeah.
It comes down to maybe Renaissance is better than you. But for our sake, for Lennox's sake, I hope not. I will say this is like the opposite of a house money game. There will not be any more pressure then in Lennox's gym tomorrow night. So it's kind of a fascinating study to see how they respond to that. Because that place will be packed, will be loud, but it should be in the balance in their favor.
I think that, you know, they certainly have more than a puncher's chance to win. It's whether or not they can just do what they haven't been able to do the last 2 times and put it all together for 4 quarters.
Yeah, don't let go of the rope.
Don't let go of the rope. Yeah, they got to stamp on their neck when they can, and they haven't been able to do that. And Renaissance has come back because Renaissance is really, really good.
I'll say if Kelsey Kirchner has turned into Shaquille O'Neal the past week or so, she has 31 points over the last 2 games. So that is she set her season high and then beat her season high in the 2 state tournament games. So an effort to get her going against a team that has some very strong big girls.
Yeah, whether or not she can play aggressive will maybe decide Lennox's fate. We have about a minute left here, so I guess we should just touch on Monument Boys. They're back in the quarterfinals for the 3rd straight time. They lost to Springfield International 2 years ago. They lost to Burke at home by 30 last year. This year, they are now going to host, is it Cohasset? Taconic hosts Boston Latin Academy. I might have said Cohasset earlier. Monument hosts Cohasset. And so, in any case, We'll see.
You just contradicted yourself.
Did I just contradict myself?
Well, you said two different things. Monument does host Cohasset.
So Monument hosts Cohasset. All right. So I was right
you
about that.
You said Taconic hosts Cohasset. They could be walking into a Taconic hosts Boston Latin.
Right. Taconic hosts Boston Latin. Apologies for that. Monument hosts Cohasset. Apparently, Cohasset is I think they've won both of their their last game, but they scored 40 points and held the other one to 27. You know, it's a slower down team, so we'll see how Monument can handle that. You know, Dom Caluti's taking it to a new level in the playoffs, which has been a huge key for them, just as a legitimate post player who's 6'5", 6'6", and Manny Brown and Griffin McElroy do their thing. That's going to be it for us, so good luck for everyone in your quarterfinals. Have a good weekend, and happy March.